Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. This is Fred Flights filling in for Frank Gaffney on Secure Freedom Radio. Our next guest is Matthew Brodsky. He is a senior fellow with the Security Studies Group, a senior analyst in Wikistrat's analytic community, and the former director of policy for the Jewish Policy Center for Security Policy. Matthew, welcome.
Good to be with you.
You've written some interesting articles recently that I wanted to discuss with you. The first one concerning the situation in Qatar, and this concerns a piece you published in National Review on August 3rd, titled Qatar's Dirty Hands. Could you give us a review of the situation with Qatar and what the United States should be doing about it?
Well, Qatar has definitely been involved in supporting all forms of terrorism and Islamism. Basically, they have their hands in all pieces of the pie, shall we say, in the region, as compared to, say, Saudi Arabia or the UAE. And that goes with their support on the Sunni side of the ledger with Hamas, with Al-Qaeda, with the Taliban, too, even their cozy relationship with Iran. They're have also been working against what the region would like in Libya for a long time, providing billions of dollars in military material to keep that civil war going because of their support, along with Turkey, the Muslim Brotherhood. And so the whole situation, initially it seemed as though part of the administration, that being mostly the State Department in the U.S., wanted to kind of brush the whole conflict under the carpet and just move on so that there could be a united front against Iran. But you can see that that the motivating factor for the Gulf region right now and for America's traditional allies is that they see Qatar's support for this bad behavior is really what is motivating them now more than Iran. And the United States should be trying to bring about a substantive change in Qatar's behavior, not just a cosmetic one.
What role is Qatar playing in Syria, and what should the U.S. be doing about this?
Well, in part, what you will hear, and to an extent it is true, that the Obama administration dithered in Syria for so long that those who wanted to see Assad go decided that they were going to support other elements of the rebellion. But Qatar chose to do this with the Jabhat al-Nusra, or the al-Nusra Front, and al-Qaeda affiliates. And this is really where they have thrown their support. So literally, they made what was initially not an Islamist revolution. It wasn't about bringing a greater role of Islam into Syria when the whole uprising began in 2011. But it was certainly hijacked since then. And there's no way that we could have gotten to this point today where it's as Islamist as, so we say, the heat is as intense, without Qatar's support for the worst of the jihadist elements inside Syria. And that still continues to this day with their support for HTS, the Hayat al-Sham in Syria.
This is Fred Flights with Secure Freedom Radio. My guest today is Matthew Brodsky, senior fellow with the Security Studies Group. Well, Matthew, I'd also like to talk to you about some recent developments concerning the nuclear deal with Iran. You wrote a very persuasive article recently in the Jerusalem Post entitled, A State Department Gone Rogue on Iran. Now, there are many on the conservative side of Washington who have similar concerns. Where do you come down on this situation?
Well, the thing, if the president is going to ask for options on what he can do, especially when it comes to recertifying Iran every 3 months, as he needs to do to Congress, then that is what the State Department should be doing, and that's what Tillerson should be doing as Secretary of State. But he's not done that in April, and he didn't do that again in July. Now, the next time this comes up in October, and in the meantime, there's another issue, which is the circular firing squad in the White House and in the NSC. Now, they're the ones who were tasked in in April, once the White House argued with the State Department to come up with more acceptable language to recertify Iran, it called for an NSC-led process to review the JCPOA or the Iran deal, and to also review Iran policy as a whole. Well, now they're purging a lot of the Iran hawks from the NSC. That review isn't done. So on one hand, you have the State Department not following through with what it's supposed to, according to Trump's orders on recertification. And on the other hand, there's not a plan that's in place from a process that's been led by the NSC, which is, again, has to be delayed again because of the circular firing squad. So I would say in the end that in multiple areas, the president is not being well served by many of those around him.
Well, there are recent arguments that have been rolled out by defenders of the Iran deal, I regret, from the administration, that Iran is in technical compliance. And when they violate the agreement, we can always go to the IAEA for remediation. What are your responses to these claims?
Right. The new plan that's being floated for the United States to request more inspections is really a trap to tie the administration's hands for years in an international process that will gain nothing. The fact is the deal was broken the day it was signed. There is no mulligan. That's number one. Number two, there's also a fashionable idea that you can apply some pressure and renegotiate the deal. Go back and see number one. It was a broken deal beforehand. You can't renegotiate it. There's no mulligan. We're stuck with the deal unless we get rid of the deal. Now, there are arguments on you can get rid of the deal by simply saying we're done with it or giving it to Congress and saying this should be a treaty and then it would never get that support. Or you can push back on Iran cheating, saying that they're cheating, push back with sanctions inside the deal, and also push back, which we're not doing enough of outside of the deal, in human rights and terrorism and ballistic missiles, and then get Iran to ditch the deal themselves. That's also a good option. But right now, we're not in a position where we're where we're pursuing either, I would say, in a manner that is strong enough that Trump himself would like.
So if we pull out of the agreement, what should our strategy be? What should our post-JCPOA strategy be?
You see, here's the catch-22, because ideally, even if you stayed in the deal and pushed back within it, or you got rid of the deal, what you need is a functioning State Department that's working with allies, number one, to agree that there's going to be a certain response and to lay the groundwork. So what we would need to do, essentially, we need to be prepared for Iran making a decision that they're going to try to break out and race to create a nuclear weapon, in which case all bets are off. But that is something that we need to be able to do and be prepared for, and that the United States military has to have a plan ready the moment that that happens. I myself, I'm not entirely sure to what extent that plan exists. If it is, that would certainly be a very good thing. But we have to be prepared for that contingency. So we need to put as many penalties as we can, but we need all the arms of the government to be functioning, I would say, first, in order to make the most of it, because this could be it could very quickly escalate. Literally, what happens is if the Trump administration doesn't recertify Iran, then it goes over to Congress, and then Congress has 60 days to decide whether they're going to ditch the entire deal and put back the secondary sanctions against Iran, or whether they're just going to put together a certain level of sanctions against Iran. So there is some built-in time, but you know, time is ticking. We're 200 days into the administration, and we really need the people around President Trump to be functioning and working toward the same goal and not engaged in a tug of war over policy.
Well, Matthew Brodsky, I'm afraid we have run out of time. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to see his excellent work on Qatar and the Iran deal, please check out National Review Online and his July 24th piece with the Jerusalem Post. Thanks for being with us. I'm Fred Flights.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.